Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Tyler Hubbard, Jimmy Allen, and Drake White will kick off the tournament with a concert at Bree Stevens Field June 9th. That's the same day tournament host Steve Stricker and the top golfers on the PGA Tour Champions will tee it up in the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for the event are now on sale at amfamchampionships.com. That's amfamchampionship.com. And since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised more than $14.8 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Along with Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, it is the first Talking.Golf of the month of May here in 2023. I don't know. It's either Cinco de Mayo weekend for some of you. It's Kentucky Derby weekend for some of you. It's Jim Kelch's 70th birthday celebration for those of us at Wisconsin.Golf. And Gary D'Amato in the Northwoods, they're celebrating because golf courses are opening for the season. I tell you what, there's a lot to celebrate this weekend.
Lots of reasons to celebrate, Rob. I've been outside the last 2 days in shorts, which had been put in the back of my closet for about 6 months. So it's good to get to break out the shorts and the t-shirts, break out the golf clubs. Lots of reasons to smile right now.
Absolutely. We should mention we are recording this on Friday here of the first weekend of May. And as we record this, we will be posting later on Friday the updated list of course openings. We haven't had many new openings over the last couple weeks, but they finally have melted the snow across the Northwoods. And today in the Northwoods region, Westwood Golf Course in Phillips and Big Stone Golf Course in Three Lakes have opened. Saturday, Northwood Golf Course in Rhinelander, the front nine at St. Germain Golf Course, and it looks like all 18 holes at Timber Ridge Golf Course in Minocqua. You'll have to wait till next Saturday, the 13th of May, to get on the course up at Eagle River. And we should also mention that our good friends over at the club at Lac La Belle opening for the season, and that is today. And Erin Hills, we still have listed as the 7th of May, so that's this weekend. Gary D, I think we can safely proclaim the 2023 golf season underway. It was the longest start in the history of golf in Wisconsin. I can't imagine we've taken longer to open more courses than we have this year.
Well, Robin, there were lots of stops and starts too. You know, courses opened, then they had to close, then they opened again, and then we got a foot of snow and they closed, then they opened again, and finally, hopefully, fingers crossed, Rob, they're open for good now.
And you've been out golfing, right?
I have played two rounds now in our beautiful state now, Rob. Yes, two rounds in the books.
So Alpine Valley Resort, I think we talked about that last week. Where's the other one?
I played nine holes at Petrifying Springs in Kenosha County with my son a couple of weeks ago.
Attaboy. Love
yeah.
that.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Good deal. So we are underway. I'm hoping that you and I will be playing golf in about a week and a half?
Yes.
We're ahead of the Wisconsin State Golf Association Hall of Fame meeting. At least that's the plan. And I've really delved in deep. I mean, I can't believe it's less than a month until I come back for a month of coverage and playing golf throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I'm looking forward to that. All the snowbirds have left here, Gary D. And I'm hoping that, you know, by the time I get there, we won't be talking snow. It'll just be all about green grass and birdies and bogeys and all the fun stuff that goes with covering golf in June in Wisconsin. But right now, a number of golf teams from the state of Wisconsin, college golf teams, are getting ready for NCAA regionals. Since we talked to you last, the Marquette men and the University of Wisconsin men learned that they will be going to the regionals. And as you pointed out, Gary, it's the first time in a long time since they've gone in the same year. I believe it was the last year the Badgers went, the first year the Golden Eagles went. And yeah. And I just think that's it says a lot. You and I are, I mean, talking about covering golf last summer, The only people we saw more than, you know, the golfers we covered were Steve Bailey and Mike Wilson. They were everywhere last summer. And I tell you, I think the fruits of their labor are paying off. They the passion and energy they've poured into their program here rewarded with NCAA regional berths.
Yeah, for Wisconsin to go from last to fifth to third in the Big Ten in 3 years, 2 years basically under Coach Wilson, phenomenal growth there and improvement. And then, you know, Steve Bailey's been at Marquette for 13 years and has done a great job there for all those years, making their fifth NCAA tournament appearance and their fourth under Steve. So congrats to those two programs.
Absolutely. The Marquette Golden Eagles are headed to the Auburn, Alabama regional, and where Vanderbilt is the top seed. And the Badgers staying relatively close to home, going over to the East Lansing regional. We're calling it the East Lansing regional. They called it on the selection show the Bath regional because it's technically in Bath, Michigan at Eagle Eye Golf Course, where the University of Illinois and Heartland's Pearson Hunt will be the top seed. The Badgers seeded 11th. Let's start first with the Golden Eagles. What do you think of their regional, Gary, and their chances of getting through here to Greyhawk down here at Scottsdale, Arizona for the finals?
Well, it's interesting, Rob. I was talking to Tyler Leach, graduate student who was a freshman the last time Marquette went in 2019, and he said his takeaway, Rob, was that they didn't play all that well that year, and they finished eighth, and they were within shouting distance of finishing in the top five teams and advancing to the NCAA championships. And Tyler said, you know, my lesson, or the thing I learned was, you know, you just have to hang around that fifth spot, and you don't have to, you know, press to shoot complete lights out. You just have to be consistent, stay away from double bogeys, hang around that fourth and fifth spot, and you've got a chance to go. So I think that's the message he's going to impart on his teammates. You know, it's a loaded regional. They all are, and they're going to have to get past a bunch of ranked teams to go. But I like their chances. They're hot, Rob. They won the Red Hawk Intercollegiate, and then they won the Big East, and I think back-to-back week. So they're on a little bit of a roll, and we'll see if they can keep it going.
No one to bring back
the as I call up the NCAA site with audio playing. The regionals will be held May 15th through the 17th. There are six of them around the country, each of them 54 holes, 13 teams and 10 individuals are at three regionals, and the other three regionals have 14 teams and five individuals. So, in the end, you have the same number of golfers. The top five teams and the low individual not on those teams from each regional will advance to the finals, which will be May 26th through the 31st at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale. And, Gary, as I look at the Marquette regional down at Auburn, you kind of have to start with Vanderbilt. They graduated a couple of seniors, including Harrison Ott from last year, the former Brookfield or the Brookfield native. And they're currently ranked first in the country, but they finished runner up to Florida in the SEC championships. But, you know, it's a unique format. They do the medal play and the match play, which is similar to what they do at the NCAA tournaments at the NCAA championship, but lost in the finals to Florida. It can be a grind. I mean, you're playing, I think it was 54 holes of stroke play to get to that, the two rounds of match play, and you play quarterfinals, semifinals one day or something like that, and then the finals the next. And I still think Vanderbilt's the team to beat, might be the team to beat nationally, just with the fact they have the reigning NCAA champion Gordon Sargent back and some really good depth there. But that said, there wasn't one team ahead of Marquette. Well, there was one team ahead of Marquette that won their conference title in terms of seeding in the Auburn Regional, and that was the ninth seed, Houston, which won the American Athletic Conference. And, of course, Houston, proud tradition of great golf. They've won 16 NCAA championships. They've been to the finals 48 times, but they're ranked 49th in the country, Marquette 60th. I just don't think it's a slam dunk that those teams ahead of Marquette are necessarily going to perform at the level they need to get through to Greyhawk either.
You know, that's an interesting point, Rob, because another thing Tyler said was he did some research on seeded teams and how much, you know, he said you'd be surprised. A lot of people look at the seedings and think the top five seeds are going to be the teams that advance. But he said that's not the case. You know, it's teams seeded below the top five. Several of them usually get in every year. So that's just a form chart. That just lets you know the relative strength of the teams, but you still have to bring it for those, when you get to regionals, you still have to have, five guys playing well. So, it's not a given that the top seeded teams advance. You would expect Vanderbilt to advance, but beyond that, every team has an equal chance.
Tennessee ranked 12th, Auburn 13th, Colorado State, the fourth place team out of the Mountain West. They are ranked 24th and Ohio State 25th. So five top 25 teams, and then a number of conference champions behind around Marquette. Mentioned Houston, Augusta University, the Southland Conference champion, and Siena, the Metro Atlantic. But they are very much long shots to get through to the national championship. The one thing I wanted to ask you about with Marquette, Gary, is the fact that I think since we did our last podcast, the way they won the Big East, they had it. They were behind, I think, on day one, came back to take the lead on day two. And then unlike Green Bay women that we talked about last week, where they kind of put the hammer down on day three, Marquette actually moved even further ahead of St. John's and some other teams that were right around them on day three at the Big East Championship, but then lost that lead around the turn and had to get it back and then pull away. I thought the way that Marquette rallied down the stretch was something that we haven't seen out of a lot of Steve Bailey coach teams. And I think it bodes well for what they can do here at the regional.
I agree, Rob. The last 2 years they lost the Big East. They went, they had the lead with several holes to play and several guys, made big numbers on closing holes, and they wound up losing both years, finishing second. This year was completely different. They lost the lead, as you mentioned, to St. John's. They fell behind by three or four shots. And if you look at what they did on holes 14 and 15, they made a bunch of birdies up and down the lineup, and that put them back in the lead. And this time, they finished it off. And, Tyler said maybe we were a little bit hungrier, more hungry than we've been the last couple of years. But it was good to see him finish it off, and I think that bodes well also.
Indeed it does. Marquette winning with a 873 team total. St. John's a close second at 876. You had an individual champion in the number five golfer on the Marquette Golden Eagles, Boom Sima Ari, and then three other golfers in the top 25, Max Lyons, T12, Tyler Leach, T14, and Nicholas Evangelio, T25. We were wondering this time a week ago, Gary, whether Boom would be in the lineup or whether we'd see Patrick Adler. And it turns out Adler didn't go at all. And Aiden Lafferty was the alternate. And then your number five golfer goes out and wins the conference championship. I think that's happened before in Marquette's history. I want to say either was that Matthew Bachman. I don't know if he was necessarily a number one the year he won it. But, I don't want to say Boom is an underdog winning that thing. But, he certainly exceeded expectations going in.
No doubt. He hadn't even ever played in the Big East before. This was his initial Big East championship, and to go out and win it as number five man says a lot about his makeup, I guess. It's just a little disappointing that, he got in a playoff and lost the playoff. His opponent or the other guy who made the playoff, Jack Simon, I think he's from St. John's, but anyway, yeah. He made a birdie on the first playoff hole. And so Boom, that is an automatic entry, as I understand it, into the NCAA championship finals if you win your conference as an individual. So Boom's got to make it with his team, but again, he can still make it.
Yeah, there was far more on the line for Jack Simon in that, and that was only to determine whether Jack would actually be the individual overall champion. They still, after they decided that, they still declared them Cole medalists. Kind of strange, but I think it's more of a procedural thing now with this automatic individual berth that the NCAA has for both men and women now if you win your conference championship from a conference that has an automatic qualifying berth as a team. So good stuff by the Marquette Golden Eagles over at that the East Lansing Regional, where Illinois is the top seed. Wisconsin comes in with a third place finish at the Big Tens. I was kind of bummed that the last round, theirs turned out to be a 36-hole championship. The final round postponed, canceled after about eight or nine holes. And the thing that really impressed me, Gary, was that even though they were third and knew they kind of had to finish third or fourth to get the at-large, they were going out, and I thought they had somewhat distanced themselves from the fourth place team, Indiana, and Ohio State, which wound up finishing T5. We've said it all spring. Impressive the way that the Badgers have gone about their business.
Yeah, for sure. You know, something tells me they would have held on to that third place spot too, the way they were playing. You know, pretty good lineup up and down. It's been the same lineup basically for the last few tournaments, I think. And Coach Wilson's done a really good job with motivating those guys and having internal competition so that they're always, you know, they're fighting for a team cause, but they're also competing against each other for spots in that lineup. And I think it's all worked out really well.
Sure has. Maxime Legros, the grad transfer, a T10 finish out of the number one spot, as did Cameron Huss. We'll talk about Cameron Huss again a little bit later when we talk about U.S. Open local qualifying that took place after the conference championships. And then Clayton Tribue, who got Davidson to the NCAA regionals a year ago, the Madison native T21, Coulter Smith T32. Max Schwarz came in as the number six golfer and subbed for Graham Moody in the second round and shot 73 after Graham had shot 79 in that first round when we were recording the podcast a week ago. And Max had gotten off to a good start in that final round. So, again, Coach Mike Wilson has options as it relates to his lineup. But I think the biggest thing about going to East Lansing, Gary, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would be that, in theory, the grasses, the conditions, very similar to what they've been playing on most of the year, at least at home at University Ridge, getting ready for, you know, their competition around the country.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Rob. And Coach Wilson told me that they're going to go a couple days early. They've got a practice round lined up at Country Club of Detroit. And he was hoping to get another practice round in at Oakland Hills, which would be a huge treat for his players before they go over and play their, I guess they have one official practice round at the site, correct?
Correct, yep.
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to get two and possibly three practice rounds in, you know, they're past finals now. So they'll be well prepared. And, you know, they've got some experience. Cameron Huss played last year in regionals as an individual, along with a former teammate Griffin Barella. And Clayton Drabio, as you mentioned, has played in the NCAA regionals. So they've got some experience that's going to help that squad.
Now, unlike Marquette's regional down at Auburn on paper, a little deeper here at the East Lansing regional, Big Ten champion Illinois comes in off of a conference championship. The Florida Gators that we mentioned winning the match play portion. I don't believe they won the stroke play portion. They were like the third or fourth seed in that 18 match play bracket in the SEC. And then the defending national champion Texas Longhorns come in off of a fourth place finish at the Big 12. And I think they're only, their only returning player from last year is Travis Vick. And he actually was subbed out at the Big 12 championship. So Texas is very much a team in transition this year. But Gary, they've made 66 NCAA finals appearances over the years. And they've won four national titles, including last year's down here at Greyhawk. Then you've got the Oregon Ducks that finished T5 in the Pac-12. Kansas State, which has never been to the big dance, the NCAA finals, finished seventh in the Big 12, and Georgia ninth in the SEC. And then you get to the cluster teams right around Wisconsin. Liberty, the champion of the Atlantic Sun. San Diego gets in as a fifth place finisher in the West Coast Conference, ranked 46th overall. BYU won that conference, but that's the same conference as Pepperdine, which has had a lot of postseason success the last few years. And then the University of Arkansas at Little Rock gets in at the 9 seed, champions of the Ohio Valley Conference and ranked 50th. And I spew all that information, Gary, because then number 10 is the host school, Michigan State, which finished 9th at the Big Tens and is ranked 61st overall. So they just barely got in ahead of the bubble, as did Wisconsin, which finished 3rd at the Big Tens and 65th overall. So when you're looking at, we've got the top five teams and the low individual not on those teams. You get past Illinois and Florida, and I think it really is the wild, wild west. None of these programs come in with any kind of great form. And, when you talk about Texas, you know, not being the team they were a year ago, Oregon, you know, T5 in the Pac-12, which hasn't exactly, you know, had a, you know, great spring season. And then Kansas State, with very little tradition and a seventh place finish in the Big 12. I think the door is wide open for the Badgers to continue, you know, what has been this remarkable renaissance here under Coach Mike Wilson.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. You know, we get past the first two or three teams, and you know, the teams are all probably pretty equal. And it's you know, it's a great opportunity for those guys at Wisconsin to advance here, which they haven't done in, I guess, since maybe 92, maybe. I think it's been 31 years since Wisconsin's played in the NCAA championships. I might be wrong about that. I think 92
you are correct.
Seems to ring.
You are correct. Oh, wow. My, you are the, I have to print out the information that Gary D'Amato has just rattled off from the top of his head, but it was 1992. And believe it or not, this is kind of like Wisconsin golf history, Gary, is not much different than Wisconsin basketball history, because they have actually made 13 NCAA finals appearances. I don't think they've ever made it in the current format, but I don't believe there might have been regionals back in 92. But and they also made it in 90. But before that, it was 1966. And then
wow.
And then all those other appearances were between 1941, which was really the golden year of Badger athletics, because that was the year the Badger basketball team won the NCAA championship. I'm sure there might have been a Rose Bowl or something in there. But yeah, so 13 NCAA finals appearances. I'm going to challenge I'm going to try to stump the Schwab here. What is their best NCAA finish, Gary, in what year?
Oh, wow.
I'll give you,
I'm going to say they had a top,
go ahead.
They had a top 10 finish somewhere along the way, right? Maybe eighth.
They did. They were sixth in 1951.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking happy days wow. there, buddy.
Was Rod Vanderkellen on that team?
Yeah, Pat Richter might have been. I don't know. You know, he played for Wisconsin.
Right.
So
that's great.
Yeah. No. So it's some, you know, it's some great history there, and it really, we can chuckle about it now. But you know, there's been a lot of great media coverage in the Madison market about the Badgers getting to the NCAA regionals, and you know, it there's a quiet confidence about them. There's a lot of pride in what they've accomplished here in 2 years under Mike Wilson. And I just think it's really going to be fun to watch here again, May 15th through the 17th, the top five teams, low individual, not on those teams. They advance to the NCAA championships at Greyhawk, which will be televised on Golf Channel. That'll be May 26th through the 31st. Gary, I'm hoping at least we get Illinois down here, but I'd love to see, you know, I think Marquette, I think Wisconsin can surprise people. That'd be fun. That would take me from May 26th to the 31st. I think I'm on a plane back to Wisconsin 2 days later. So that would complete the month of May and really kick off what promises to be a fun summer of golf coverage in Wisconsin.
Do you plan on attending the NCAA if Pearson and Illinois or one of our state teams makes it, you'll be there?
Yeah, I went, well, I guess it was 5 days. I might have missed a day last year when Harry Ott was there with Vanderbilt, but they got to that match play situation. And that was fun to watch because while I just followed Harrison through his round, you know, and then you would follow on Golfstat to see what everybody else was doing. It was fun because there was a lot of, you know, you're down to just those last, you know, handful of teams. And there was a lot of, you know, you had the TV coverage, you had, you know, all attention was just on that little group there. And it was eye-opening what a big deal that NCAA championship was last year at Greyhawk. And this is the last year here at Greyhawk, I believe. And the next year it goes down to, I believe, La Costa Resort in North County of San Diego, up there in, La Jolla, not La Jolla, just up the road from La Jolla there off the five. So, Carlsbad. And so, you know, a last chance here to see these guys compete and gals if the gals make it. And we should also mention that, again, the Green Bay women's golf team leaves Saturday for the NCAA Pullman Regional. And they continue to, they got a lot of coverage up in the Green Bay market. That's big stuff up there. And after the Horizon League in pretty convincing fashion, they'll be out there taking on the top-ranked team in the country in Stanford, and looking forward to seeing what goes on there. And to put a bow on our college golf discussion, we also learned this week that the UW-Whitewater women will be seeded 17th for the NCAA Division III championships. That begins on Tuesday and runs through next Friday down at Mission Inn Resort in Howie in the Hills, Florida. Just about every year that Whitewater has made it, this will be their fifth appearance. They've outkicked their seed. Last year, they matched it with the 20th place finish. The first year, they didn't make the cut. But in 21, they were 12th. In 2019, they were 13th. And in 2018, they were 12th. The championship that was canceled in 2020, many believe was Whitewater's strongest team, but they played pretty well. They got a strong top four, and Andrea Whelan hoping to get some really balanced performances there and try to make a run at a top 10 finish here this year. And we also had several women from the state of Wisconsin that qualified for the NCAA Division II regional tournament, and those regionals will be held Monday through Wednesday of next week. Most of them will be converging on Grand Falls Casino and Golf Resort in Larchwood, Iowa, and playing there will be Lainey Venadal out of New Richmond and the Augustana women's golf team. They won the Northern Sun Intercollegiate to get the automatic berth, and then two individuals will be competing. Baraboo's Carly Moon of Winona State qualified individually. She was an at-large selection. And then Beloit's Maddie Vine of Northwest Missouri State. Her team got to go. Maddie has played the number five spot there for the last few years. And she, too, will have a chance to tee it up at the regionals. So, and the top three teams at the Central Regional and the top two golfers not on those teams will advance to the NCAA Division II Championship, which will be held May 16th through the 20th at Eureka, Missouri. The one thing I learned, Gary, in doing the research on the Division II part of that for the women is the fact that the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletics Conference got like seven berths in this NCAA championship. And that's the conference, I believe, that UW-Parkside will be going in this fall when they begin their women's program. And I texted with Carly Weirwee, the coach there, this week, and she's hoping for a couple more commitments, at least get the four individuals she needs for a counting score. They've already got two really great recruits in Bryn Newman out of Toma and A.J. Powell out of Appleton. So, you know, at least they're going into a conference where, you know, the margin of error is a lot less than it is on the Northern Sun, where I believe Augustana of South Dakota was the only team to get through. Winona State finished second in that conference tournament and did not get more than just the individual in Carly Moon. So the postseason is here, and it's complicated. I'm not sure it's, you know, they have, you know, Brantley Romine was doing mock regionals on Golf Channel's website, which is kind of cool. It's like the Joe Lenardi of college golf. now it's time to tee it up, right, Gary? I think all the hype and all the anticipation is over. I can't wait for Green Bay Whitewater hit the course next week along with the Division II qualifiers.
Yeah, it's amazing how many teams and individuals we have qualified for either go straight to like the Division III championships or, you know, have to go through the regional qualifying. But that's a credit to the coaches, the programs, and the golfers in our state.
Absolutely. Well, Talking.Golf presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course. The festivities include a concert at Bree Stevens Field on June 9th. That'll feature Tyler Hubbard, Jimmy Allen, and Drake White. And June 9th is also when the tournament begins over at U Ridge. Steve Stricker and his pals on the PGA Tour Champions will tee it up in the 7th AmFam Championships. You can find tickets for the tournament at the AmFam Championship website. That's amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity. And that's, of course, distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Gary, probably a good time to talk about the PGA Tour champions. They're down at the TPC Sugarloaf in Georgia. And early coverage today on Golf Channel And Steve Stricker hanging around 200 par 70, currently T18. When I was watching, Ken Kanagawa was on some kind of tear. One of the guys that doesn't have status on the tour, and he shot a 6-under 30 on the front nine. On number 10, his right foot slipped out from under him, and he hit a Rob Hernandez, Gary D'Amato-like trunk shot into the bunker about 10 yards in front of him, but scrambled to make a par. That's something that the two of us wouldn't do. And then birdied 12.
Right.
He made a couple bogeys coming in, and he is currently chasing Stephen Ames, who and David Toms, who shot 7-under par 65s. Tanigawa tied with Y.E. Yang and Lee Jansen at 6-under par. Mario Tiziani currently even par through 13. This is the week before a major. It's the region's tradition next week, Gary, and that means we're just getting closer and closer to senior championship month in Wisconsin between the AmFam Championship and the U.S. Senior Open at Century World.
Yeah, we've got, you know, a couple qualifiers, too, for the U.S. Senior Open, Rob. One at Troyburn in the western part of the state, run by the Minnesota Golf Association, and the other one run by Wisconsin State Golf Association. And that's at Stevens Point Country Club coming up here in a couple of weeks. A lot of locals in both, especially the one I'm assuming up in Stevens Point is going to have a lot of our golfers we've covered over the years. And hopefully, Rob, a few of them make it to the U.S. Senior Open. But as you mentioned, first, we've got the AmFam to deal with.
Yeah, a number of prominent amateurs from around the state, but also Mario Tiziani will try to qualify through the qualifier up at Troyburn and Hudson. And they've posted the field for the U.S. Senior Open qualifying coming up here. And as I scroll through it, a couple names that jump out. Michael Crowley, the talented club pro out of the Milwaukee area at Morningstar Golfers Club in Waukesha. He's in the field. Jim Dewing, who Gary profiled over the winter, is in the field, the amateur out of Verona. Now let's see who else we've got here. A lot of people from Angel Franco, who I believe is Carlos Franco's brother, isn't it? From Paraguay. Bob Gregorski is going to give it a shot. Tom Halla, the Landon Cannon out of Colgate, Wisconsin, will be teeing it up. Let's see who else we got here. Boy, Jim Lehman, Tom Lehman's brother, who is also, I believe, a agent, who I think at one point worked with Mario Tiziani. He plays out of Minnetonka, Minnesota. Mike Murphy, the amateur out of Minocqua, former Madison City champion, and who's had a great run. He's qualified for a number of Wisconsin State amateurs over the last few years. Jim Schumann will tee it up over at the Stevens Point Country Club. And Mick Smith, who just got off of a nice showing down at the PGA Professional Championship in New Mexico, the only golfer from the Wisconsin section to make the 54-hole cut. Michael Crowley made the 36-hole cut, and then they had an additional cut after the third round, and he did not get inside of that. Eddie Chiarassa, Mark Voller, he'll be teeing it up. Boy, it's a big field, and just a lot of names I don't recognize. What do you make of that, Gary? I mean, there's a lot of people here. I think anybody who has thought about ever qualifying for a U.S. Senior Open is going to give it a shot here at Stevens Point Country Club, which is, you know, not the easiest tests of golf. It's hosted state open, state amateurs. It's always fascinating to see who tries to give it a shot at the qualifier.
Yeah, last year's U.S. Senior Open qualifier, I think it was at Hidden Glen, and we had several PGA Tour Champions players show up there. I think it's a testament to the courses and that are chosen for this, and also the way the WSGA runs the event and sets up the courses. But you're right, Rob. It's a big field. I think 83 guys I see. And unlike U.S. Open local qualifying, where the next stage is a final qualifier that's 36 holes, the guys who get through this qualifier for the U.S. Senior Open go right to the Senior Open Championship. So a lot of pressure and a lot of good names in that field.
Yeah. Should mention, too, Charlie Brown, the longtime club pro out of the Lake Geneva Racine area. And then Robin Bird, who was a medalist at the PGA Tour qualifying school way back in the day. He's coming to Wisconsin to try to get through to the finals. Former Marquette coach Tim Grogan, Gary Hulbert, former Greater Milwaukee Open champion, is in the field.
Wow. Gene
Heim, who is an amateur legend in the Northeast Iowa. He's out of, yeah. I don't know if I'm saying this right, Pasota, Iowa. He's in there, as is Bradley Claprot out of Keokuk, Iowa. Bradley, I believe, was a former Iowa University of Iowa golfer who played on the mini tours for a number of years. Kurt Mandela, talented teaching professional out of the Milwaukee area, who's had a good run competitively over the last few years. And we're just looking at this for the first time, because I know that both the Minnesota and the Wisconsin sections just got their assignments here in the last couple of days. The registration ended on May 3rd. And of course, no tournaments field and at the senior level is complete unless you go A to Z. And we've got the Z, Paul Zarek, in the field, Gary. And he's one of our favorites. And boy, yeah, this is it's going to be a fun, interesting thing. I don't know. I don't have any idea how many spots they're going to be playing for. And that, I don't think, was it's going to be a TBD according to the qualifier information. But I'm guessing, what, maybe four spots, three spots?
Probably three or four. Yeah, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be there on the 26th of May to cover that up in Stevens Point. Looking forward to that, Rob. And you're right. It's a very strong field.
Well, and you're coming off covering the U.S. Open local qualifying at Bishop's Bay Country Club in Middleton. And I think this time a week ago, we were thinking that two, if not three, of the qualifiers would come out of the final group that played the other day. And indeed, that happened. Two of them did. The medalist Harrison Ott, currently playing on the mini tours of the PGA Tour, developmental tours, with a 300 par 69 to win by two over amateur Jack Anderson out of Brookfield and amateur Cameron Huss out of Kenosha. Both of those golfers are on the University of Wisconsin campus. I know Jack, I think, at some point played club golf there, but he's not a golfer by nature. He's a student. And Cam Huss, obviously, coming off of a successful Big Ten championships and now looking forward to the NCAA regionals. And then the last of the four qualifiers, mini tour golfer Blake Jens out of Madison. He outlasted Sam Weatherhead of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Dave Spengler III, I believe it is, because Sponge is Dave Spengler Jr. from back in my days covering the senior the Madison scene. And good stuff there at Bishop's Bay. It looked a little cool. It looked a little windy, and it looked like 18 was going to make golfers work to finish off rounds.
Well, Rob, it was a lot cool and it was a lot windy. It was one of the windier days I've ever seen on a golf course. It was blowing a steady 25 to 30 and then gusting over 40. I saw sandbags get knocked over. I saw hats fly off heads. And then it was cold on top of it. So, you know, Harrison Ott 69 was a tremendous round, beat the field average by 13 shots. I followed him the first six or seven holes. He birdied. He rolled in about a 40-footer on two, then three is a long par three that played into the wind, 215, and he hit a three-iron to like a foot for a tap-in birdie, and then he birdied number five, got up and down from a greenside bunker on a par five. So he was three under after five, and after that, he just barely, you know, just kind of hung on, made a lot of pars, one more birdie, one bogey, for a really good round. In that kind of wind and temperature, it was impressive.
And, you know, for our listeners who might not understand, I mean, the U.S. Open local qualifying is set up to be challenging. It is set up to, you know, almost like a state amateur, showcase the best golfers in terms of at this point in their seasons. And that's why you see a lot of the guys who've been playing, the mini tour guys and the college golfers, rise to the top, just outside the cut line. Austin Kanzorski, who's been in a lot of Monday qualifiers on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour, shot 74. Ryan Helminen, successful teaching pro out of the Neenah area, 75. And then Max Schwarz and Tyler Leach, both of them coming from conference championships, Max at the Big Tens for the Badgers and Tyler at the Big East Championship with the Marquette Golden Eagles. I thought a big ass to get from, you know, there to back to Wisconsin, but the day before we had a situation in Iowa, and this was, I mean, the day after the Big Tens and the Big East, and Bennett Swavely got to the U.S. Open local qualifier in Iowa. For a while there, it looked like both he and Jordan Niebrugge might make it, but ultimately it looked like tough conditions there, similar to what your regional or qualifying site experienced, and then they fell outside the cut line. So it says a lot that a guy like Cam Puss was able to come back and be able to keep it together for 18 holes and get through to the next stage. And it probably is, it comes at a great time in his career, because this is kind of what we're expecting out of a guy with the talent that Cam Huss has.
Yeah, absolutely. He played a very solid round. I watched him, you know, he played with Harrison, they were paired together. And so I watched him play six or seven holes, and he is solid, you know, no weaknesses in his game. But I thought the most interesting round was by Jack Anderson, who, you're right, Rob, does not play on the Wisconsin golf team, goes to school there. In fact, he's just finishing classes and is going to get his, I believe, an accounting degree. But, you know, here's a guy who probably could have made the golf team at Wisconsin. He's definitely good enough. And he starts his round, Rob, bogey, bogey, par, bogey, bogey. So he's four over after five. And at that point, in that wind and those temperatures, most guys would pack it in. But Jack goes on to birdie 6, 7, and 8. Then he birdies 11. And then he birdies 16. So he plays the last, 13 holes and 5 under. In those conditions, I thought that was one of the more impressive things I'd seen that day or any day.
That is very impressive. And just neat to see, these qualifying sites. They will go on for another couple of weeks as everybody tries to take a step towards the U.S. Open, which will be held this year at L.A. Country Club. A couple other things to note down at the Lakewood Ranch Golf and Country Club in Florida, Thomas Longbella, the former state amateur champion out of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, medaled with a 6-under par 66. And then yesterday down on the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, Hunter Eichhorn missed by a shot. And we have, tails on both sides of the equation there with a couple of guys who really, you know, are probably looking at the U.S. Open as, you know, gravy with where they're at. Hunter trying to, get onto the Canadian Tour and some of the PGA Tour developmental tours. Thomas Longbella, who has status up in Canada. One good week at a U.S. Open can sure change a life, too.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting, Robin, talking to Harrison Ott, that, you know, when you sign up for U.S. Open qualifying, you pick three sites if you should advance to the final qualifier, which used to be called sectional qualifying, 36 holes. You pick three sites, and the USGA then assigns you to one of the sites that you picked. And Harrison hopes he goes back to – he made it one other time to the final qualifier. He played in Columbus, Ohio, with all the PGA pros, guys who are coming off the Memorial Tournament, Rob. And Harrison wants to go back there. And I said, you know, a lot of guys try to stay away from that one because the quality of play is so good with all the tour guys there. But Harrison said, you know, I learned so much playing in that sectional a few years ago when he was a freshman at Vanderbilt when he first got through. He said, I'd love to go back there because it's such a great learning experience playing with those guys on the tour. So I think that's a great attitude. You know, you want to show up where the best are and see how your game stacks up.
Absolutely. Sectional qualifying early June, or final qualifying, as Gary said, that's the new word. Again, we still have a few regionals to get to, we will continue to follow those. As we look also around the world of golf this weekend, we should make mention of the fact that a couple of Wisconsin golfers getting started on the Epson Tour this season. The field sizes are expanding, and the number is up for both Bobby Stricker and Tess Hackworthy. As we record the podcast, they had late tee times here on Friday. And through 12 holes, Bobby Stricker is at 1-under par without a bogey on her scorecard. I hope we don't come back to rue the fact that we put any jinx on it. But Tess Hackworthy, even par through 11. They had consecutive tee times, Gary D'Amato, at the Garden City Charity Classic in at Buffalo Dunes in Garden City, Kansas. I think that's got to help. They've played a number of practice rounds together. They played on the APT Tour together. They've played some Cactus Tour events together. Always good to have a friend going through the process here.
Yeah, that's familiarity certainly helps. And then Alyssa Farrell, who won this tournament a few years ago before she kind of stepped away from competitive golf, she's back in the field, Rob. And I see she's T102 right now, one over through 10 holes. I think she teed off right after, you know, test, but on the other nine. So she teed off maybe on one opposite nine. But yeah, three locals, three Wisconsin products in that field. So that's cool.
And this is usually the one and done competitively for Alyssa Farrell each year, at least the last few years. Love to see her come back and maybe play in a state women's open sometime. She is teaching the game of golf at Vitense Golfland and giving lessons on her own through her home course down at Town Country Club in Edgerton. Alyssa Farrell Golf, I will give her a shout out if you want to check out what she has to offer in terms of instruction. But neat to see her giving back. As I've said before on our podcast, leaned a lot on her and her dad when we had kids coming up through the ranks, and for how to schedule a junior golfer, and obviously with Alyssa playing at Michigan State and Brooke playing at Wisconsin, they knew how to get it done, and it's neat to see Alyssa being able to hold her own here year in and year out, it seems, with her one opportunity as a former champion at the Epson Tour event in Kansas. And we also have on the Latin America Tour, PJ Tour, Latino America, Sam Anderson, Griffin Barella, and Kaylor Steeger. Sam Anderson, as we mentioned last week, was in the hunt to win down in Peru. This week, they're in Ecuador, just another week on the developmental tours for three guys from Wisconsin. But Sam Anderson, 1 under through nine on his second round, 3 under for the week. He's T34. Griffin Barella, 3 over through 12 and 4 over for the week. He's T109. Kaylor Steeger opened 76, 78. Looks like he'll miss the cut this week. But boy, Sam Anderson sure seems to be rounding into form, Gary.
He's been hot, Rob. He's had a number of good weeks now on that developmental tour. He had a pretty good year last year, too. I think it's, hopefully, cross our fingers, it's a matter of time before he moves up to Corn Ferry and makes some noise on that tour. But, I remember talking to Michael Burson, who recruited Sam to a Wisconsin, former Wisconsin coach. And Michael thought Sam had every bit of talent and a great head on his shoulders to get to the PGA Tour ultimately. So we're watching him and watching his progress. And it's been impressive. He's gotten better every year.
As we wrap up the podcast, unless Gary D'Amato has anything else for the agenda, we've got to give a shout out to the MAC Fund Invitational. It's the big high school championship on Saturday. It'll be at Erin Hills, half the field, and the other half over at the club at Loch LaBelle in Oconomowoc. And knock on wood, Gary, 70-ish in the Milwaukee area in the forecast on Saturday. Heck, if they played it Sunday in the Madison area, it's 81. But so we're hoping for good weather. I did post the latest high school golf rankings to the site today. And at the bottom of that, we mentioned the MAC Fund Invitational with a link to you can donate to the cause. All these teams are raising money for the MAC Fund. And with the number of teams that are competing, it is a very impactful tournament in terms of its reach beyond just the competitive end of it. All the great teams in the state of Wisconsin are usually there, and that's no exception this year. But the bigger purpose, Gary, as you saw a couple years ago when you stopped out, is another great fundraising vehicle for a cause that goes back to the days of Eddie Doucette and Johnny McLaughlin for the Milwaukee Bucks. And on a week where the Milwaukee Bucks were very much in the headlines, it seems to see that this legacy continues, and then this tournament with what they've done. I think it sends a message to the kids that sometimes golf is more than just about you.
Yeah, Rob, well said. It's really impressive that a lot of kids on these teams take this very seriously and go out and drum up, donations and contributions to the MAC Fund. And it ends up being, as you said, an impactful total. And it's great to see that kids go out. Some of them have to get out of their comfort zone a little bit to ask for money for the MAC Fund, such a great cause. And they embrace it, and some of those teams raise a lot of money for the MAC fund. So it's a very, very nice event. And as you said, it's a lot of high power teams are there too. So there's some good golf too.
And we're getting very, very close to the start of the postseason in boys golf. So this will, and with the weather finally turning for the better, might be getting a truer indication of what to expect come the postseason, starting tomorrow with the MAC fund invitational. Gary, that does it for me. All good on your end?
All good, Rob.
All right. We'll talk golf again next week. Talking.Golf presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The week includes a concert at Bree Stevens Field on Friday, June 9th. That features Tyler Hubbard, Jimmy Allen, and Drake White. And, of course, June 9th is the day that tournament host Steve Stricker and the top golfers on the PGA Tour champions, including two-time champion Jerry Kelly of Madison, will tee it up in the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for the event are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity. And, of course, that's distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.